This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, episode number 168, Finding Joy in the Holidays. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the podcast today. I am excited for this episode. It's going to air the week of Thanksgiving here in the United States. And for most of us around the world, whether we celebrate Thanksgiving or Christmas or another holiday, this is a time of gathering. It's a time of getting together with family and friends, spending time with them, and really focusing on what is most important in our lives. What's wonderful about this holiday can also be challenging. When we are together with so many different personalities and so many different doshic tendencies and different patterns of behavior, it can be a little bit overwhelming, and it can also send us way out of balance. There's a reason that we have so much health issues in January, and there's so many people that are having colds and having illness. Now is the time to get on top of that. And we do that in many different ways through our patterns, our routines, the way we're interacting with others, the food that we're eating, the habits that we're following or not following. So in today's episode, I wanted to talk about the holidays and give you some strategies or ideas or thoughts that might help you when managing being with other people, your routines being off, food, and some behaviors that we can focus on there, and really just give you some confidence going into the holidays. If you are working towards living more Ayurvedically or more healthy, it can sometimes feel restrictive, and I don't want that feeling for you. I want you to have a holiday experience that is beautiful and joyous and full and rich and all the things, and I don't want you to come through it feeling like you're white-knuckling, holding on to staying true to what you have been working on in your routines, because if you are new to Ayurveda and the habits are new, it might feel scary to try and let yourself be a little more relaxed and at ease with it. If you're very practiced and used to it, we just want to reinforce the importance of those. So I think this episode will help all of us, no matter where we are in our Ayurvedic journey. And it was really helpful for me just putting it together because it reminded me of how important it is to kind of have a plan as we go into some of these holiday gatherings. So let's jump right in. I wanted to talk first about the relationships of the people that we're with during the holidays, because really, what is the purpose of these holidays? It's very nice for many of us to get a break from our 9-to-5 job and to be able to have a little bit of downtime, but the intention really is to be with the people in our lives. And whether that's being with a large group of people, a few people, or maybe even spending more time just with yourself, if you're in a situation where you're not around family or friends, all of those are opportunities to deepen connections and relationships. So some tips that can be helpful there is just remember, first off, that your intention is everything. The intention that you bring to the gathering will completely shift and transform not only your experience, but those around you. It's that idea of emotional mirroring, right? If you come into a situation and you're feeling extremely stressed and grumpy and upset, you might rub off on other people around you and they tend to emotionally mirror you, especially if it's a close relationship. If you're a parent with your kids, if you have a spouse or a partner, you tend to influence them, whether it's conscious or not on their part of then picking up on the negativity and kind of going with it. If you want that environment and atmosphere to be really positive and fun and uplifting, bring it with you when you come, and do that by setting an intention. You can have multiple intentions going into a situation like this. It could be an intention for how you want to show up. And so maybe you want to show up very peaceful and loving. So you're going to stick with that intention no matter what comes at you around you. Or maybe it's an intention to stay true to your habits around your diet. So you're wanting to really focus on how am I eating, and am I eating peacefully, following the guidelines for healthy eating, which I will remind you about here in just a few moments. But it can be a beautiful experience actually to move through a holiday with intention. We tend to be the host family. I'm not sure why that always happens, but I think it's because I'm the oldest daughter in our family. And so I just end up being the house that everyone comes to for the holidays. And so this week we do have a bunch of family that are going to be joining us, including 2 4-year-old toddler twins, a boy and a girl. darling, darling little children. What I have to remember though is that because my kids are just a little bit older now, my youngest is 10, I don't have like kid mess everywhere anymore. And they'll bring it with them, guaranteed, right? They're going to show up with the pack and plays and the blankies everywhere and the toys and all the things. And it's going to be a house of mess for probably 5 or 6 days while they're here. Previously, that would drive me nuts. Like it would really be hard for me. And I've worked through the years as I've become more grounded in myself in enjoying the mess and the chaos and knowing that that's a sign of life and enjoyment. So I work on the thoughts that I'm having to influence my feelings so that I can actually enjoy what's going on there. So it starts with having an intention. And I have a really strong intention of just loving on those kids and my brother-in-law and his wife and my mother-in-law while they're here and just really loving the time we all have together to create new memories. So set an intention. That's going to be really important first. But it's also going to be very helpful during the time while you are with other people to find space to be alone. It might just be that you take an extra long time in the restroom. It could be that you go outside for a volunteer. I'll go out to the car and get whatever you need so you have a minute to breathe and not have to be around chaos. Keeping your environment as tidy as possible can also be helpful. If you are the hosting family, keeping the clutter to a minimum and giving a designated place for guests to put their things. So we have a closet off the front of the house that I like everyone to just stick stuff in, and then we'll usually designate a bedroom. So if they're not staying long term, we can just put all their things in there while they're visiting. And then they're not so everywhere for you to visually see. That's very disturbing to Vata to have clutter and mess all over. There's enough Vata going on when you have company. So that can be really helpful. And even removing excess from your space. I know we sometimes tend to not notice things in our space because we've seen them for so long. But if you can go through and just kind of do a little quick clear off of countertops, make sure that there's not anything there that you don't actually need out while you have people there. Bringing nature in is very soothing to you and everyone. So that's one reason why I love having live flowers. Well, I guess if they're cut, they're technically dead. But I love to have flowers and when we're doing gatherings or dinners. So, and they don't have to be expensive. You can usually get some at the grocery that's pretty, you know, minimal. Or even look and see if you have any wildflowers that are still growing where you're at. Bringing nature in that way or a plant. It's really nice as a guest to take that to the host and bring something to them. And that's always a good offering. But that helps to bring some of that outside calm and peace into the internal environment. And then whether you are the guest or the hosting family, stick to your daily routines and your schedule. This is really important. We tend to get into the holidays. We have work off. Things are a little different. We're staying up too late. We're sleeping in too late. And before you know it, our whole dinacharya is completely messed up and we're feeling so out of balance, and then we start eating weird foods, and before you know it we feel lousy. And I think the holidays are a time for us to actually buckle down on our habits and be a little bit more routine because we have the space to do so. We're not so busy running everywhere. So maybe look at this as an opportunity to have a little refresh, a little renewal of your routines and your habits. So maybe just focusing on that morning routine, making sure that you're setting your day up for success by waking up early at your regular time, by doing your morning routines, maybe even doing some that you don't normally do every day, adding in a meditation if you don't normally do it. Doing your Abhyanga in the morning is really grounding for the day. So if you know you're going to be facing a lot of noise and people and communication and chaos, and let's just face it, the holidays are all about that when you're with family. But if we want to feel more grounded, it almost provides like a protective shield to your body when you do an Abhyanga in the morning. So I would highly recommend that during this kind of chaotic time to sandwich your day with Abhyanga in the morning and again in the evening will really, really help you for sure. And then sleeping like normal. So go to bed at the same time that you normally would have. This can be really challenging if people are staying at your house and you are going to bed about 9 or 9:30. I know the longer we live Ayurveda, the more that we tend to go to bed a little bit earlier than most humans. But it's okay for you to allow them to entertain themselves. It's okay for you to maybe stretch your bedtime by half an hour and then go to bed. But if you're staying up until all hours of the night, you're going to feel horrendous the next day. And I can tell you this from experience because when I'm with my sisters, we love to talk and we will talk and talk and talk. And suddenly it is way past everyone's bedtime. And then the next day we're kind of dragging and we don't feel good and we're not as present. So if you want to really take advantage of the time together, make sure that you're not doing it into the wee hours of the morning. That's my advice. Yeah, you try it either way. Let me know how it goes for you. So those are kind of some basic things. But if you are Vata dosha, here's some specific advice for you. So when you're going into the holidays, do grounding practices before you're going to be around everyone. Those can be things like the Abhyanga I mentioned. Do a little bit longer meditation practice. Yin yoga, some yoga that keeps you close to the floor. So not a lot of jumping and bouncing around. Don't go for a big long run or anything. You want to do things that are going to be more grounding for you. You can go for a nice walk outside. If you're feeling unsettled by the chaos in the moment, take time to step away and reground yourself. I really, really highly recommend Anuloma Viloma. That's the alternate nostril breath. Really, really balancing for Vata. And it can help bring you back to that peaceful space so that you can deal with, you know, the spilled cider and the uncle that's being super obnoxious and the family member that keeps wanting to turn the television on despite the fact that it's already chaos. Not that I'm speaking from experience in any of those examples. For Pitta dosha, we really want to avoid heated topics. So keep conversations a little bit lighter. It's okay to talk about, you know, serious or really interesting things, but avoid things that create conflict because you're going to naturally have a little more heat in you because of the environment, right? Because of the chaos in the environment. So avoid heated topics. Allow other people to be in charge of some of the activities. Especially if you are the one hosting and you're Pitta, you have probably been stressing out about this activity or this event for a week or longer, maybe quite a bit longer, as you're planning out the details. So assign other people to be in charge of certain aspects. Have someone else be in charge of dessert. Have someone else manage the turkey trot, as you call it. We do a little activity in the morning where we go out for a walk if the kids want to walk, or a run if someone wants to run. But we just do this at a field near our house. So have someone else be in charge of something. You don't have to manage the whole thing, and it will give you a chance to enjoy it. Step outside, literally outside, when you feel overwhelmed because you need to cool down. If you are living somewhere where it's really hot still in this time of year, then just go somewhere cold. Open the freezer and stick your face in for a minute and cool off because you just need to keep those emotions, you know, a little bit calmer and cooler. And then the last thing is find fun in the chaos. I think that's hard for Pittas to do because we're so busy managing everything and trying to have it all work out just perfectly that the event ends and we never actually experienced it. So give yourself time to experience it. Have something fun in the middle of that. Let loose, right? Let your hair down, as they say. Now for kaphas, we want to really focus on the routines and the food because we need to keep your meals a little bit lighter so that you have a lot of energy for the day. Plan to add movement in. You need to exercise. It would be great for you to go for a run in the morning. That would be very helpful to get all of that heavy, sticky, gooey energy moving and to help your body feel lighter. So really just focus on movement, on keeping things a little bit lighter, and the relationships and connections. Don't go too heavy with things. So kaphas tend to want to kind of get super serious about stuff. So let's just be light, right? So you're going to focus on the opposite of that heavy energy and focus on lightness. So those are kind of some tips for relationships. I would love to hear about the dynamics within your families because I know everyone is a little bit different and how you're going to manage it is going to be different. But I can just guarantee you that going in with an intention and a plan is going to make the whole thing so much better for you. Okay, let's transition a little bit into food. Food is such a huge part of the holidays, so we'll spend this next part of the podcast talking about your food and some things that you can do to make sure that you're staying balanced while still getting to enjoy some of these holiday favorites, right? So a few things that you want to be doing. Digestive herbs are really going to be helpful to take before you eat. They're called dipanas or dipanas, and they really help your digestive system to get ready for the food. There's ones that they're typically kind of heating. And so if you have a lot of pitta aggravation or if you have any digestive issues that are pitta related, I'm going to want you to stick with some of the cooler dipanas, things like coriander, fennel, avipatakar, which is a traditional Ayurvedic herb. You can buy that on Banyan Botanicals. But with these herbs, we want to take them. If you can get them in a capsule form, I love it even more. If not, you can put them into a little tea. But I just like to take the actual powder. If you can handle it, you could just put the powder in a, you know, teaspoon and just take it in. So that would be fine. But we also can get it into us by sipping on warm teas throughout the day. So things like ginger or peppermint, if you don't have too much pitta, are going to be helpful for digestion. CCF tea. cumin, coriander, and fennel is going to be great. And then vata tonic. I love to sip on vata tonic, and it's a really useful drink when you're feeling a lot of aggravation from the doshas and there's just too much going on, because it's very grounding. It's made with lemon juice and maple syrup and pink Himalayan sea salt. So you have your sweet, sour, and salty all combined in together. And I don't even know if it's really called a vata tonic. That's what I call it, because I think it sounds funny because it sounds like gin and tonic, but it's a vata tonic. So I'll put the recipe for that in the show notes so that you have that. But those are things that can be really helpful. Now, if your digestion is not pitta friendly, meaning you don't have a lot of heat already going on in there, is what I want to say, then you can have things like cinnamon or a little bit of nutmeg would be helpful before the meal. You could have a little bit more of a mint, but you want to really get the digestion going. So just think of this as your version of an appetizer, because I'm going to recommend to you that you don't have an appetizer. Ah, you might be saying, but that, what about the cheese ball? Well, I will just tell you that if you choose to indulge in the appetizers, sometimes they're out for an hour or longer before you actually sit down for the meal. The problem that we have with that is that due to the fact that our body digests in stages, you're going to end up with undigested food that leads to the creation of ama. And we really want to avoid that. And you're also going to feel a lot more indigestion. The advice I would have is to have your lighter breakfast, you know, you want to eat something in the morning, and then have your biggest meal for the holiday be at lunch. Now, what if you're staying somewhere and you cannot control it and they're eating it at dinner time? It would still say don't eat it heavy. You're going to want to have just small amounts of the food, which I know might feel like, oh, so sad, but there's always leftovers. People like to eat those the next day, and it's okay with these holidays if you eat those leftovers for that 24 hours following the holiday meal. But hopefully you're able to have a little influence over the time the meal is served, and you can have it more midday when the pitta energy and digestion is a lot stronger. So eating when you still have food in your GI tract is going to cause a lot of issues with digestion. If you remember, we've talked before about the stages of digestion, right? Kapha digests first, and then we move into the pitta stage and then the vata stage. And so when we don't allow the food to move all the way through those stages before we put more food in, and it takes about 3 hours or so if you're not eating a super heavy meal, I mean, you've got to give yourself time, then we're going to find a lot of that ama creation that I talked about. And you'll know you're experiencing ama because you're going to feel really tired. Think about how a lot of people feel after they eat a giant meal, especially with the turkey and the different hormones in that at, you know, Thanksgiving time. But you're going to feel very tired. You're going to have digestive symptoms, right? Your GI is not going to be working properly. You might feel bloated or excessively heavy, or it's not going to digest for a long time. You're going to get flatulence. And none of those things are things that we want. Burping, all of that is a problem. Your tongue might get a stronger coating on it. Your breath can smell bad. And then you might end up with a stronger body odor. So we want to avoid all of those things. Now, some things that can really help as well that day, beyond just giving yourself space between the meals, having the biggest meal at lunchtime, avoiding the appetizers and the grazing, having your digestive herbs or your teas before you eat, is to move your body. So everyone can move their body, right? We can do it differently. Kapha is going to want to do the most sweaty, intense types of exercises. Pitta, we want to get some good, brisk, strong movement in there, but don't cause a lot of heat and competitive feelings, right? So let's not go for like the weightlifting max that day, right? We're going to do something that's a little more grounding. Pilates would be really good. Maybe some brisk walking would be good. And I already mentioned Vata could do some grounding. Yoga would be good for them. Walking outside as well is going to be helpful. But moving your body is going to be really great. And then sticking to your routines. We talked a little bit about your Dinacharya, your morning routines. So sticking to those as much as possible is going to really help you throughout the day. Taking a moment for gratitude before you eat. And what's really nice, at least at Thanksgiving time, is that tends to be more of a habit. Maybe that's just the family I grew up in, but we would all take a moment to say what we're grateful for out loud. And I think that really was helpful because it brought you to the intention of why we're getting together, but it also made the food taste better, right? We were able to focus on really being present with the food. And then this last one is really tricky. It's keeping your meals more simple. When you go to a big holiday meal, it almost feels like you're eating at a buffet sometimes because there are so many dishes and everyone has their favorites and they bring their favorite thing to share. And oftentimes you want to eat all of it. That is going to be havoc on your GI. And so the more that you have difficulty with digestion, right? If you have sluggish digestion already or irregular Agni, or you tend to be hungry all the time and your food's burning up too quickly, you want to probably avoid that buffet style of eating and just choose two, probably three different food items and just keep your food more simple. We'll talk just a minute here about food combining because I think that can help us. But I do think it's important that we just remember that we want to be a little bit more cautious with adding in excessive different varieties of food because they all digest at different rates and it just creates a lot of confusion for your digestive tract. So let's do a little refresh on food combining and what works well and doesn't work well together. The reason that we look at food combining is just because some foods digest, like I said, at different rates, but it's honestly one of the last things that we worry about when it comes to health of the digestive tract. If we can get the routines and patterns around how we're eating down properly, food combining is the last thing that we would focus on. But because on the holidays we are eating such a combination of interesting foods, it is a useful thing for us to just cover real quick. So a few things to remember. Salads are cold and bitter. So raw salads like vegetables. So they tend to weaken the digestion. If you're going to have a salad with your meal, it's better to eat it at the end as opposed to the beginning. Totally contrary to Western diet. But it is going to be more helpful if you do that. Sweets, like desserts and any foods that are high in sweets, fruits, that kind of thing, are really going to be harder on your GI tract. So you're eating them during your meals. So they're going to be best if you have them between meals as a snack, or if you have them as dessert, don't eat them right after your dinner. Wait a couple hours, which tends to not be a problem, at least at our house for Thanksgiving, because people tend to eat too much at lunch, and then we have pie in the mid-afternoon. So that can be really helpful because then it avoids that undigested food. We don't want that sweet sitting in there putrefying and creating ama. Remember that fruit doesn't mix well with other foods. So if there's a fruit platter that's out for an appetizer, it's best if you just avoid it. So you probably just want to not have any of that fruit. If you're going to drink teas throughout the day, as I mentioned, CCF tea is really good, but astringent teas that are things like black tea, raspberry, strawberry, alfalfa tea, those are all going to weaken your digestion because of the astringency in them. So avoid those before, but they're really great to drink afterwards. You can have a little bit of tea after your meal. Avoid combining dairy products with sour or acidic fruits. Avoid combining meat and fish. And avoid combining multiple carbohydrates together. So if you're going to have potatoes, don't also eat a big thing of starchy rice or starchy corn, right? Because those are going to have a hard time together. And then again, if you're having a difficult time digesting, keep your meals really simple. And in general, you don't want to mix proteins with a carbohydrate. So you don't want to have like meat with eggs because those are two proteins together. You don't want to have fish with rice. You don't want to have chicken with noodles. And you'll notice these are all things that we combine in Western world, which is kind of funny. But just think about it this. We don't want to mix a protein with a concentrated carbohydrate just because they just don't digest as well. So if we can have them separate, that would be better. If you're going to mix them together, just have them in small quantities because I know it can be hard. We're going to be having turkey for Thanksgiving and often potatoes, which is a meat with a potato. I mean, that's like the epitome of poor food combining because it doesn't digest as good. But I'm not going to tell you not to have that. Just be cautious and notice how is your body digesting. And I will actually put a link in the show notes to a handout about food combining just so that if you're interested and you want to get really into it. But for the holiday season, I would say just be a little more careful about what you eat together, avoiding like the fruits and the dairy together. Try not to eat too many of the heavy carbs and lots of different types of meat. And just always look at how is my body going to be able to digest this? Can it break it down? Is it going to have an easier or hard time with this? And the last thing I wanted to go over is the most important. So I'm glad you stuck it out here till the end. I wanted to talk about the guidelines for healthy eating because as we're going through this time of the holidays and we're with all of our family, we can eat and enjoy, but we can just focus on staying true to the principles that help us to digest properly and feel our very best. So first, we want to eat in a proper place, in a nice environment. This is very helpful if we're in a space that's, you know, got nice table settings or we're able to eat where it's a little more peaceful and not quite so crazy, which might be hard if you're with a big family, but we're wanting to focus on that environment as much as possible. And if you are hosting, create that environment for people. You could have nice peaceful music playing. You could have the table set nicely, the area very clean, have it smelling good. So lots of things you can do there. eating food prepared by loving hands. So when we're preparing foods for the holidays, we tend to be a little bit more happy about cooking. So just focusing on putting some good positive intention into your food when you're preparing it. Taking a moment for gratitude before you eat is really helpful. And then trying to eat without distraction. Now, in a holiday setting, we're probably all talking and enjoying being together, so it's a little more distracting. So take a time and focus on the food that you're actually eating. Be with it for a moment and then enjoy the conversation. And then being in a positive frame of mind is also going to be helpful. It allows our bodies to be relaxed and be in the rest and digest mode so we can digest our food good. Chew it well. There's so much good food to enjoy. It takes a long time to prepare these holiday meals. So eat slowly, enjoy it, chew your food properly all the way through. Eating it warm is going to be more helpful for digestion. And then making sure that you're not eating food that's really dry. So it's good to have oily foods. If you're going to be eating a turkey, have some of the dark meat, right? That's going to be helpful for digestion, especially if we have Vata dosha. Now, foods should not have opposite qualities. So we talked a little bit about that with the food combining, right? We don't want to have too heavy carbs. We also don't want to have the dairy with the fruit because then that creates that acidic environment. Only a small amount of liquids with your meals. So oftentimes we'll serve a special drink with a meal. So take very small quantities of that. Best if you just have a little bit of warm water, like 4 ounces with your meal. Avoid cold drinks. So all of that iced soda and drinks that have been set aside, avoid. We're not going to want to drink those. And then when we're eating, just make sure you're only eating until you're about 75% full. That's going to be really hard for the holidays. What I like to do is remember that the first 2 to 3 bites of a dish taste the very best because then your tongue acclimates. You don't taste it as much. So start just by eating 2 or 3 bites of each thing that you've chosen and then give yourself a pause because you might find that you're totally satisfied. You're 75% full and you don't need any more food. So that can be a really helpful thing to manage the amount that you're eating at these meals. And then taking some time to rest, go for a little walk, help that food digest right after you're eating is really great as well. And then again, 3 hours later, you can be ready to eat again, unless you overdid it. If you overdo it, it could take you 6 to 8 hours before you actually feel hungry again. So the goal is that in 3 hours, you can then eat some of that delicious food again if it's all digested. So as you're working into the holidays and you're enjoying this time that's coming up and you're looking forward to it, just remember that setting an intention and sticking with your routines is going to be really helpful. It's such a wonderful time to be with family. So look at the positives, create some good healthy thoughts around it, and just know that no matter what happens, we're all in this together. Have a beautiful week and we'll talk to you next time. Namaste.
Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it.
You can connect with me online at AyurvedaLifeSchool.com, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.